What's up, guys? Joe here. I wanted to tell you about a project that I've taken on. I decided to write a book about Kiss because I loved them so much. And then, as I started looking at all the books that have been written, so much has been covered. The one thing that hasn't been covered is your story, and my story, and your neighbor's story that likes Kiss, and your buddy that likes Kiss. Nobody's ever going to hear how much we love Kiss and how much they've changed our lives. So I thought the best thing to do would be to have everybody write their story and I'll put it all together in a book. So what you have to do is go to podcastrockcity.com. There's a page, Kiss Army Book. You click on it, you fill it out, you tell your story, and then most likely it'll go in the book. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a new fan, an old fan, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, it doesn't matter. All your stories are equal in this book. They all matter because it's your story. I'm going to try to put as many stories in there as I possibly can. I think it'll be awesome. The opportunity to tell your story. Hey, I was 9 and my big brother took me to see Kiss on the Dynasty Tour. Or my dad surprised me at school with tickets to see Kiss and it was awesome. These are the stories that, that need to be told because so many of us are linked together by this band. It would be pretty spectacular to just have one spot where you could just open it up and go, "What's this guy's story?" and then read it. So go to podcastrockcity.com, fill out the form, tell your story. I would completely appreciate it. As soon as I get a couple hundred stories, I'm going to go forward with the book. I'll get it printed, I'll put it out. I'm going to send copies to every member of KISS, and maybe even some of their family members, because I think it would be really cool for them to see how important they were to all of our lives. Anyway, PodcastRockCity.com, click on the Kiss Army book, fill out the form, and we'll see what happens. And now on to the show.
Just lost you, rockin'! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. I want to thank you guys for listening to the last show. We had a good time, and we hope you enjoyed it. Now, listen, we got a little weirdness going on, and hopefully you're gonna enjoy it. With me, as always, is Jody.
What's up?
Okay, but no, normally I would say, and Andrew Kiss, and then he would say something like, "I am the god of hellfire," and blah, blah, that would be his thing. But he's busy this week, and unfortunately we're recording on a day that he can't get together, so I decided that we're going to call one of our friends from another podcast and have a discussion about Kiss. And just figured it would be really fun to try something a little different today. So we hooked up with Dustin Lytle from Music the Lifeblood. Yeah, I said that all fucked up. Music the Lifeblood. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm good, Joe. How are things?
Just go ahead and F up my name now. This is right. Joe
Thank
Bo
you.
Paulo.
Right.
Anyway, listen, before we get started, I always have questions for people the first time they're on the show, but I want you to tell everybody about your podcast. Go for it.
Music the Lifeblood is it's pretty much mostly about just kind of geeking out about being a fan of different kinds of music, whether it's metal, punk rock, hardcore, indie stuff, whatever. We do all kinds of things, anything from like King Diamond to like Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. We drop a Kiss episode every now and then. And then on top of that, we play a lot of new music from indie bands that we think are just totally badass.
Now, you did, you're on iTunes and what else? Stitcher and Podomatic and all that stuff?
Right. We're hosted by Podomatic. The feed goes into iTunes. We're also on Stitcher if you want to do that. Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, all the kind of like social networking hot buttons, you know, as far as like where people go, sort of, so to speak.
I feel like such a loser. What about you, Jody?
I feel all right.
I don't do any of that stuff.
I'm not a big social media guy,
yeah,
man.
I'm just busy.
I think I'm uniquely in the position to be. I have a pretty big mouth, and the more opportunity I have to amplify my voice, I'm going to go with it.
Sure, yeah, bro. I hear you. Okay, so before we get started, I want to tell everybody that this Friday I will be on the Kiss Room with Matt Porter. I'm flying out Thursday to Philadelphia. I am going to Friday drive to Montgomery County Radio. I think that's what it is, right? Monco Radio.
Monco Radio. Monco Radio. And Minds Me.
That's right. And I'm going to be on the show. I'm so excited. I can't even explain. Please go to Podcast Rock City on Facebook. And I'll put players up there. All you got to do is click on it. It's a live show. If you've never listened to it, you are missing out. It is nothing but 2 hours of Kiss. And it's live, and it's they play music, and they have discussion, and it's a lot of fun. And let's move forward here. Dustin, are you ready for your questions?
Shoot!
Okay. Favorite Kiss member?
I can't do that.
No!
That's just,
what?
No. I can't do that. Okay, here's what I'll tell you. I'm a big Eric Carr fan. I've drummed since I was, I think, 8 years old. Uh-huh. I was always fascinated with Eric as a kid. But I'm equally as fascinated, for probably all the wrong reasons, by Vinnie Vincent.
Gotcha.
And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Right.
But I think if I had to just narrow it down to one, I'd say probably Paul is my guy.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Our guy.
My guy, too.
My guy, too. Anyway, Ace. Yeah, and then Ace. But, okay.
So, I love Eric, too, though, man.
Yeah, Eric Carr is the
my
man.
My guy, too.
So, okay, favorite Kiss album?
I go back to Creatures of the Night probably the most often.
Wow.
But I would say Creatures of the Night, Crazy Nights, and probably a toss-up between Rock and Roll Over and maybe Revenge.
Okay, cool. What year did you discover the band?
1987. Wow. Crazy Nights was my new Kiss album. Holy shit, the band just put something out brand new. I gotta have it.
That's a different... Jody, you were right around there too, or no?
For me, it was like Animalize was the first new one.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's 87.
A couple years apart.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. So we got a letter from Anthony J. Costello, who basically what he wanted to know was his favorite period of Kiss is 1980 to 1983. Unmasked, Elders, Creatures, Lick It Up. And... you know, some people think that that's the worst era. So basically what he wanted to know is what do we think of it? And do we think, if we don't think that's the worst era, when is?
Such an easy one.
Yeah. I'll start okay. Though. No, it's not the worst era. Everybody knows I love Kiss Unmasked. And then I absolutely love Creatures and The Elder. I'm not huge on Lick It Up, although I will get hate mail now for saying that. But there's no way in hell this is the worst era. I mean, no way in hell. I mean, you have a little era with Creatures in it, and I'm happy.
All right.
So what do you guys think? Well, let's go with Jody.
It's definitely not the worst era. I mean, you know, for the same reasons I love Unmasked, The Elder. Not that big into Creatures, but I do like Lick It Up a lot. You know what I mean? I think the worst era, it would have to be like post-Farewell Tour until, what, Sonic Boom was how many years later?
Yeah.
That's a huge chunk of nothing. You know what I mean? They're just touring. I mean, that's fine and dandy. And I went and everything, but, I mean, what was really happening?
What about you, Dustin?
No, I don't think 80 to 83 is going to be the worst era of the band. I think that, to me, that's just categorically not accurate. I'm a huge fan of Unmasked. I'm okay with The Elder, but not for the reasons that most people say. You know, I don't mind concept albums and things like that. I just think from a production standpoint, Bob Ezrin was at a point where he was, you know, more... He wasn't going miles per minute. I think he was going kilos per minute, so to speak. And I think the production quality of The Elder just is awful. And I hate the way the drums sound, the guitar. I don't like it from a production standpoint. But I do like The Elder. I love Creatures, and I'm a huge fan of Lick It Up. In my opinion, the worst era of the band would have to be Reunion. I was a staunch advocate of the non-makeup years of the band. Bruce Kulick is my guy as far as the guitar players of Kiss go. And I just think that Reunion, they did not play well. They weren't in, you know, I think Peter Criss's drumming had gotten to a point where it had suffered badly over years. You know, not saying that people that are older can't rock, but I don't think it held up to kind of the legacy that that Kiss had established at that point.
You know, that's really interesting that you're saying that, because sometimes when I watch the videos from the reunion tour, although I loved that, I loved being able to go back and relive my childhood and see the band together. You know, sometimes when I watch it, the playing isn't really all that good, but you know, sometimes they're older. It's not like they're, you know, kids in their 20s anymore. And, you know, when they did this and for the most part, I think people really enjoyed it. I think that, when it got to the farewell tour, that's when it got too bad for me. But I think that, as far as the worst era for me goes, it would have to be right before the, Sonic Boom and Monster. I don't know, and it's really not because Eric and Tommy are in the band. It's more because I just don't like the music.
See, I don't mind Sonic Boom. I would much rather Kiss write an album that they want to write as opposed to writing an album they think they should write. You know, it's interesting when you stand Sonic Boom beside Psycho Circus, because that's the next, you know, that in like line of succession, those two are next to each other. And when you compare the two, they kind of make sense, because they're obviously trying to do something that is, to me, out of the realm of their kind of natural instincts, so to speak. I think Kiss has a nasty habit of not following their gut, even though they preach all the time that they do, you know, that they've done things their own way. I think Kiss has a long history of making compromises that have caused them to suffer, so to speak.
Right. Following the trends. Anytime they're a little bit in trouble, they just like jump ship and do something that's happening at the time, right?
Yeah. It has its good side and bad side to me, but at the same time, you know, I'd much rather hear Paul Stanley do another 78 solo album, something in that realm, as opposed to something like Live to Win. You know, Live to Win does not feel natural to me. Just the same thing as Asshole does not feel natural to me, the way that, you know, I think Gene Simmons should write a song.
I'm with you there, bro.
No, I understand that completely. It's really interesting the way we've come up with, you know, we have different ideas of what Kiss's worst era is, but none of us would ever argue about, you know, 74 to 79. You know, it's almost like when they tried to, when they tried to carry it on, that's when we feel, at least the three of us feel like something went wrong.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, like, post, like, the farewell and all that, I like, really believed that it was over, you know? And so that for them to kind of come back, it took me a while to be like, all right, I can still dig it. But at first, I was like, fuck that, you know? I don't know. I just didn't think that. I thought they were really done, you know, and it seemed like they should have been.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're still around now, but I did take a pretty serious break from Kiss for, man, a couple years there. I mean, I sold all my Kiss shit, and you know, I kept the records and shit, but that's all, you know?
Yeah. I remember reading an article with Paul where he was talking about when he came back. When they came back, he was like, you know, we're catching crap about it. He goes, I hope you guys gave Michael Jordan the same amount of crap. You know, Michael Jordan retired, what, twice, right? Three times? He even came back. It's like he came back with a different number because they retired his number. That'd be like the equivalent of Paul coming back with new makeup. It's like, I'm going to come out of retirement and I'm going to be Giraffe Boy.
The bandit comes back into play.
Oh, man.
See, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. I would have been okay with them putting the makeup back on in the 90s. I was a sophomore in high school when they did the reunion. And I was just so freaking unhappy that I wanted another revenge as opposed to a psycho circus. And I would have been completely fine if they had said, all right, we're putting the makeup back on. Bruce is going to be whatever. Eric is going to be whatever. And this is what we're doing. I would have been 100% okay with that. But I think everybody got kind of swept up in the nostalgia.
Yeah.
During that period of time, there were, you know, Kiss tribute albums coming out. And, you know, bands like Nirvana were covering Do You Love Me? You know what I mean? So I think there was this big wave of, you know, remember how cool this was, you know, 15 years ago. And to me, the actual reunion itself did not live up to the legend of Kiss. So if that makes sense.
I understand where you're coming from. It's like for a lot of fans that were into like the revenge era sound, and they Kiss could have stayed that way and, you know, maybe not Carnival of Souls, but just went in that direction because they were a killer band in that lineup. You know, and you were just expected to just be like, oh, well, let's just abandon that because now they're back with the original dudes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of fans that, you know, like they were in high school, like your age, were like, damn, what happened to my band? You know, like you said, it just went to a nostalgia act at that point and it really hasn't done anything forward since, you know. I mean, like Sonic Boom and Monster, I don't see them as like anything forward or new, you know.
I think I like a Monster much more than I do Sonic Boom.
I do too.
Yeah, me too.
But it's still almost like a nostalgia record.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
like
a formula to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, for whatever reason, I think the internally the apparatus of Kiss thinks that they need to write an album that sounds like Rock and Roll Over, as opposed to writing an album like Rock and Roll Over, if you get the difference between the two. I think it's almost like a classic case of you kind of try too hard and you lose some of the spontaneity, some of the magic of it, things like that. But on the whole, I think Monster's a really good album. I like Take Me Down Below. I think Long Way Down, I think, is really, really good. I even like Tommy's song on there. I mean, aside from them having to placate to the spaceman platitudes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I get kind of tired of that. It's all like the formula, you know?
We're really hoping that when Ace does a new record, that he shies away from the spaceman stuff.
Yeah, I think Ace, in my opinion, you know, songs like Ozone and Shock Me and 2000 Man, those all make sense within kind of like Ace's thing. But when Tommy tries to do it, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd much rather hear Tommy write a song about his wife. You know what I mean? Like, I'd much rather hear him singing about banging his wife than a rocket ship to space, because I think that would be natural for Tommy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because the truth is he's the spaceman right now, but he's not really the spaceman. It's hard. It's so hard to deal with, you know. Ace is space, man. You know.
Yeah.
this is like this conversation is the one that everybody seems to have, you know, where you get the haters, and we're definitely not haters, but you know, I don't know. I just can't even explain. I mean, you know,
I think what would be the best thing for Kiss and the best thing for us fans is if they just dropped the whole character and each guy just wrote songs from, you know, inside of themselves.
Yep. Yeah, if you look at the first three albums, because you don't have character songs popping up until Destroyer. You know, you have things like Flaming Youth or God of Thunder. You know, before that, you can't tell me that Lover All I Can is a Star Child song. You know what I mean? That's just a Paul Stanley song to me.
Yeah, it's just rock and roll.
Yeah, right. And I think when they do that, things are much more relaxed, much more easy. You know, listen to Paul's solo album, you know, Tonight You Belong to Me. I don't think that's a Star Child song. I think that's a, you know, in the moment kind of lover sort of thing that Paul was doing at that time. And I think it frustrates a lot of the diehard fans, and it's difficult to kind of articulate that sometimes, but you know, it's just be natural. I think that's the best way to say it.
Right. Yeah. Do something that's just yourself and not for a character.
Yeah. You can't, you know, it's like the old, you know, conversation. How many times are they going to write Rock and Roll All Night?
A dozen? I don't know.
Yeah. They, you know, at least a dozen times they've tried to recapture Rock
and Roll. Yeah, but that's just, at least it's not a character song per se. I mean, it's just about wanting to party, right?
Right, yeah.
It's not like a Star Child or a Demon song. It's not scary for Gene or whatever.
See, I think as far as anthems go, if you look at the original run of the band, I think Tomorrow and Tonight is a far superior song to Rock and Roll All Night.
I do too, but most people would disagree with that.
No, but yeah, I don't feel like anyone is into it. You got those awesome like Southern gospel like backup singers on that, and like just like a cool like 12-bar blues riff.
Right.
You know, man, that song is amazing. I love it. I'd much rather hear that than Rock and Roll All Night.
What about the Alive 2 version with all the different Paul vocals?
Right. Yeah, that's the one I think they did that. They did it at Soundcheck, right?
I think so, yeah.
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 But like all those Southern girls are all Paul, all singing the verses, Paul this, Paul that.
Yeah, I really love it. I love that song myself. I've never actually sat and thought about it that way, but you know, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, you know, although I can say that me personally, if I went to a Kiss concert, I don't think I would feel satisfied unless I heard Rock and Roll All Night. But I definitely feel like I would, if I had to choose, I would put them both in the set. Although that shit ain't happening, you know.
Right. Yeah.
They could, though. I mean, they do other anthems. Shout Out Loud's an anthem, right?
Yeah, sure. You know,
it'd be great to hear. I mean, people would go bananas if they played that, I think.
Tomorrow and Tonight instead of Shock Me.
I'd take it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
That would be really
good. I think whenever you get three big Kiss fans in a discussion, it always steers back towards the set list.
Right.
You know, that always comes up. And I'll leave it at this. I'm not going to bitch and piss and moan about it for hours at a time. If at some point they could at least just one time play Burn Bitch Burn for me live, I would be a happy man.
That's one of the most underrated Kiss tunes ever, I think.
Oh my god, that riff is amazing.
I know. Yeah, I love that one too.
It's just
yeah,
love it.
I think they did play it once or twice on the Animalize tour, correct? I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. I have that Kiss Alive
Forever
book. You know, I'll have to look it up.
I think they attempted it.
That Animalize tour, all those shows they did in Europe, it was the shows that they had kind of repurposed the Unmasked Dynasty stage.
Yeah.
And they were doing a lot of those weird-ass covers, you know what I mean? Like, that's where they were whipping, like, when you pick up bootlegs with, like, holy shit, Kiss is playing Mountain, Mississippi Queen. That's generally where all that stuff came from. And, like, I think it was kind of like the Wild Wild West at that time. Like, they weren't drawing as many people as they wanted to, and I think they got to the point where they were just like, fuck it, we'll play whatever. And right. That's where, like, a lot of those random songs got whipped out.
Yeah, The Who.
Yeah, Won't Get Fooled Again, yeah.
La Bamba. Oh, boy. Old Susanna.
Yeah. That always weirded me out.
Yeah. Gene still tries to do that La Bamba part all the time. You notice that on all those, like...
Yeah.
Meet and greets. He's always busting that part out.
Yeah, but, you know, you can see where his influences come from.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong with Valens.
All right, so we went kind of off track, but this was fun. what we decided is that everybody's going to have a different era of what the worst is. But to us three, definitely not 80 to 83.
Yeah, definitely not.
Okay, so, go ahead.
Does anybody have like a favorite part of that 3-year period? You know?
Oh. Yeah, I would say
I really like Unmasked.
Unmasked is really good.
That tour of Sydney, man, that show's great.
Yeah.
What's yours, Creatures?
I like Creatures a lot, but I think Unmasked is aside from just sounding like it was recorded in a tin can, I think the songwriting on that album is awesome. I don't care what anyone says. Easy As It Seems is amazing.
Oh, right. Yeah, man. I don't dislike a single song on that record.
Yeah, What Makes the World Go Round, oh, my God.
Yeah. Even Shandy, which, you know, it's just really good songs, man. It's almost like they were, you know, Kiss was always meant to be a rock band. But they
decided to go power pop.
They could have been Duran Duran. You know? I mean, they could have, you know, just like Paul said when he heard, you know, he went into Studio 51 or 54 or whatever, 54. I'm not that old, so I remember. 54, you know, and he said he was dancing. He said, I could write this stuff. And then he wrote a hit.
Right.
You know, and at the time when
Desmond.
Yeah, Unmasked came out. You know, he said, hey, we could write this. And then they did.
Yeah.
I think it's a phenomenal album. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so look, we're gonna do something a little different tonight. Normally, we do something called Ask Andrew right here. And that would be, Andrew is 21 or 22 now. And because he's so young, we always get people asking, hey, what does Andrew think about this? You know, because he wasn't around for the era. But what we're going to do is we're going to do Ask Dustin tonight.
Nice.
And I want to bring back a question that that was asked to Andrew, and it was really hard for him to answer. Now, here's the thing. You got to answer the question, okay?
Okay.
All right. So here nice. It goes. Here it goes.
Right on.
Okay, you got two cars teetering on the edge of a cliff. One has Gene Simmons and Peter Criss in it, and the other one has Paul Stanley and Ace Frehley in it. And you could only save one car. The other one is going to fall off the cliff. Who do you save?
I'm saving Paul and Ace.
Oh, wow.
That's me too, easy. Bro.
Yeah,
easy.
Me too. Poor That's Gene easy. And Peter.
And just in case, because I know this is going to piss people off that are listening to it, so let me defend myself.
Go ahead.
Paul is a better songwriter than Gene Simmons.
Agreed.
So now that sucks because I'll never get to hear Dirty Living again. But I would haul ass and jump on the ass into that car to try to weight it down from teetering over the edge.
Yeah, and then just, like, hope a bird landed on Gene's car on the back end.
I don't want it to come down to, like, I'm wishing harm upon Gene and Peter, but...
They get it. They know what's up. It's a tough decision. People out, you know, what it really comes down to is, you know, you can't put Paul and Gene in the same car.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What if you put Gene and Peter in a car and... Oh, wait, no, that's what we had. No. Gene and Ace in one car, and Paul and Peter in the other.
Do you still?
I think that's how you did it for Andrew, right?
Do you still save Paul?
Or do you save Gene and Ace? I don't know. That's a tough one, too.
Man. Are Tommy and Vinny, like,
no.
Are they in, like, a third car or anything? Like that?
That's just going to go over the edge.
Yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? Because what it boils down to is who is a bigger part of your fandom?
Yeah, we both save Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pull Paul out of the car and then push the car over.
Jeez.
Bye, Peter. Like, kiss the girl goodbye.
That's awful.
Jeez, Joe, you're terrible.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Send your hate mail to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one at gmail.com.
I had to do that for Andrew.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, look, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you being on here with us, Dustin.
Hey, no problem. Everyone go check out Music the Lifeblood.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, yes. Subscribe. Hit the button to subscribe and listen to the show. And what else you pushing? You put a show out today, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the topic?
What did we do? Oh, it was kind of like a midsummer roundup. We talked about the guys in Van Halen bickering with each other.
Oh, God.
A little bit about what's being called, quote unquote, the Misfits now. The Refused just put out a new album that's really great. All kinds of stuff. And we played a bunch of really good music from a band called Cancer Slug. If you guys haven't heard of Cancer Slug, it's just kind of like awesome independent rock and roll with, you know, kind of like the I don't know where this is going to go next kind of edge to it.
That's awesome.
And
now listen, also guys, if you're listening out there and you want some fun in July, don't forget that Decibel Geek does their
Christmas in July.
Christmas in July.
And we got a special bonus last week with Desmond Child.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And did you listen to that one yet, you guys?
It's yeah, awesome. I've listened to about half of it.
Really good.
Yeah, man, it's really amazing. And, you know, Decibel
Geek. Dude looks
like
a lady. What?
Yeah. those guys are amazing. Their skills for interviewing are amazing. The show is great. I know I'm saying amazing and great a lot, but it really is.
It's
amazingly great. Please check out Music the Lifeblood. There is a commercial at the end of our show for Dustin's show. And like I said, please subscribe. Also, don't forget Friday live. I will be on the Kiss Room on Montco Radio, and I'll put a link to the show on Facebook. Joe, do you have anything to add?
I'd say, what's up, Andrew? We missed you, buddy.
Yeah.
See you next week.
What about you, Dustin? Got anything to add?
Music the Lifeblood on Podomatic.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and YouTube.
Absolutely. And you can hear a commercial for his show and all our friends after this show in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere.